then. And I hope that you guys had a good week off at home by yourselves while they were all here. And I know that we had fun having them. So thank you very much for giving us all the opportunity to have them here.
Well, it's just a great week, and we're excited every year to be a part of that as a church. And so thanks, Gail, for everything with that. Just a couple more things before we dismiss the kids. The Corpus Christi School is still taking registrations, and you can find information for that back at the information desk. At this point, it looks like we'll have at least 35 students coming this next year, and so there's still room, and we'd love for you to come be a part of that if you're interested in that. Other than that, I'm going to invite Pastor Todd to come, and we're going to send the LeClaires today.
Thank you, Ryan. I hope we get to hear more about what's happening with Corpus Christi. The school was fashioned to be one of the major ways that we do discipleship and leadership training as a church. And so that's why you might think 35 people and still registration still taking place in the next month and a half. It's meant to be that. So if you're in our church and one of the desires of your heart is, I want to get some serious discipleship. I want to see my call develop and questions like that. Where do I do that? This is where you do it. Okay, so please learn more about that. And so as we provide these things in the church, if that's what you're looking for, that's how we provide it. There is no other way we provide it. These are some of the streams that are made especially for you and for your growth. And so thank you for taking advantage of that. Prayer vigil last night, we were pleased to have 40 to 50 individuals. We prayed from about 8 at night right through till 6 this morning. So if a few people are bleary-eyed, you'll know why. And I'm wondering if just briefly, if I could get Kelly Wires and Bruce, would you mind? I didn't give him any warning at all. But just a few words of what the prayer vigil, either last night or just in general, have been meaning to you. Because I know a lot of you probably think, what happens there? And what might that mean to me?
Thanks, Pastor Todd. For me, the prayer vigil has been a brand new experience. I've never experienced praying through the night before. And it's starting, I came 4 times ago and wasn't really sure what to expect. The Lord told me to expect something. And what I didn't really understand was just how much his presence really was here manifest. And I mean, I know you've probably all experienced it in some way, and I know I have as well, but not to the extent that I experienced it during the prayer time. Even in my own devotion times, I felt the Lord, but coming here, being with other people praying, and even praying for my own things or praying for whatever the Lord had in my heart, but there's something about corporate prayer that was something so new to me and so different, and I didn't know what to expect, and it was his presence, and I never fully expected to feel it so real. I was sharing with Todd earlier that every time I come, I'm not fully sure exactly what to expect for his presence, but it was tangible. I came in last night, I sat down, I was kind of tired from the weekend and whatever, wasn't sure what to expect. I sat down, and literally it felt like Jesus was sitting right beside me, and we just had a chat. It was that tangible. It was that real. And that's exactly what happened. It was a conversation with me. And I've never experienced that before. And it really was like an open heaven. I know in your own prayer time or whatever you feel, you're trying to pray. And sometimes it's not always so clear. But it was as clear as a bell, everything that he was saying to me. And so it was so precious. The Lord was here so thick again last night that's, for me, that was the most precious thing, was his presence and how tangible it was. So if you haven't, if you struggle with that, or if you've never fully experienced that before, I truly encourage you to give up one evening to try and experience that. I mean, if you haven't felt that, for me, I've never felt that before, not in that way. And it truly was really what the Lord was showing me, was his presence, and he really just poured himself out to me. So I encourage you truly to to come out, and that's what I experienced, and I hope and pray that that's all what, if you come, that's exactly what you experience in your life. So thank you.
Yeah, cool. For myself, perhaps, like, you might wonder, wow, prayer vigil, like an all-night thing, that sounds like that's just for, like, the elite prayer people to go to, whoever those people are, and you wouldn't think yourself among them. I'm not sure who would, necessarily. But I found going to prayer vigils that there's a special grace or ability to be able to connect with the Lord that you might not just find on your own. Myself, of late, it's been hard in my prayer time, just trying to connect with the Lord, whether just through fatigue or just through whatever. And so, but coming here, you just sense like a special ability just to connect with the Lord. And so I would encourage you, even if you're not even very seasoned in prayer at all, or perhaps that's just an area where you're like, I really would like to grow there, but I have no idea how. I can't think of a better place to perhaps learn than when a whole bunch of people are trying the same thing, all at different levels, all coming together to pray. And it's very, you can just access it at whatever level you want to engage in. There's a lot of people that will just sit quietly in a chair. There's some music, background music going on, and they'll just journal or pray or read. Others will walk around, and there's times we gather together. And so wherever you're at, you might find it, I think you'd find it a great kickstart to your prayer life at whatever level you're at. And also another feature that is fantastic is around at midnight, we take communion together. And I've been thinking about that lately since Todd brought that up. But, you know, in the early church, they devoted themselves to a number of things. And one of those was observing communion. And there's something about coming to the Lord and receiving fresh his forgiveness, laying those things down, letting God's love and his presence wash over you again. It almost just kind of like renews your walk with the Lord. And I realize we need it a lot more than just a prayer vigil once a month. But that has been like super impactful upon my life as well. So for a whole lot of reasons, I'd say you will love that you came. I'm not sure anyone who comes kind of says, oh boy, I regret going, even if it's just for an hour. So anyway.
Thanks, guys. Well, you'll be hearing more about them. And I don't want to just keep the number static, the same 50 or 60 people. It's a great spot to learn to pray. And so you'll hear more about that in the future. Well, this is Sean and Aaron LeClaire and their families, possibly last Sunday, getting close to their leaving. And you heard them share their story a couple weeks ago, and I know that meant a lot to a lot of people. And so we want to get a chance to pray for them as a congregation today and to send them off. And so I'd like to invite Sean and Aaron to come and they are moving to Ottawa, to the nation's capital, felt led there by the Lord. Oh, sorry, children. You can head out. That's pretty much what life is like here. She says it, and I echo it. Marcia speaks, and then we mirror it. It's a great arrangement. No. Yeah, I don't mind if they go. Whatever you go for, most focus. If they want to go, if you want them to stay. Pardon? Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think you'll focus a bit better. Well, do you want to say a few words about...
See that? Do you want to say a few words? Sure. Well, I just wanted to share a little bit this morning. We're still in the process of seeing the Lord bring provision. We were fortunate enough this last week that we found a place, and that's a story for another time, but just to thank the Lord that he's provided a house for us for when we arrive, and they're being very, very flexible with us as we are waiting for the Lord and being flexible with him. One thing I wanted to share this morning was out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'll just read from verse 16 on. It says, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And I just wanted to share that this morning, just to say that as we're journeying this, there are still some things that need to come together. And for all intents and purposes, if we were to look and focus on the things that are seen, it wouldn't feel very hopeful. But we aren't looking to the things that are seen. We are looking to the things that are unseen. We are looking to our Heavenly Father, who is greater and He's above all things. And so as we hold our plans fairly loosely, we're hoping that our departure will be sometime around the 4th or the 5th. But again, we hold those plans loosely as we wait for Him to prepare the next step. So that's where we're at.
And so I just, last time I spoke, I just said that a good parent gives their children roots and wings. And I had said that you guys had gave us roots, and that we are rooted here with you. Our hearts are with you. And now it's the time to say thank you for the wings. Thank you for encouraging us and praying for us and supporting us as we take the next step in our journey with our family. And I just wanted to read this in Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And if I can just give one last encouragement, it's just go for him, guys. Go for him with everything. Give him everything, because he's so good and faithful and wants to care for your hearts and just loves you so much. So let's run the race together. Let's pursue God together. We'll be in Ottawa doing it, and encouraged to know that you guys will be here pursuing him wholeheartedly as well. So thank you. We love you.
So if you're new to us today, Sean and Aaron have been on this journey for many years. And believing that the Lord is calling them to the nation's capital to bring his heart and to bring his word there and to minister there wherever he's going to call them. It's a really, really wonderful call. And Sean will also be doing a law degree while he is there. But really, it makes sense only in the light of what God is sending them there to do. When I went to Oxford, I was doing a philosophy degree. But really, the Lord had sent me to minister to people that would be future world leaders. I knew that. And so that's what ended me up inside the royal family and Buckingham Palace and ministering to many people from all over the world that had come to study there. And the degree was in many ways an excuse to do what Jesus had sent me there to do. And so we want to get behind their call by praying for them today, by sending them. And you know that part of the covering organization we have as a church for leaders across the country is called Via Apostolica. I don't know if we can get that printed up there. The reason is if you would like to help support, there's all kinds of moving expenses and startup costs to what they're doing. And if you'd like to join me in helping that, then you can make a check out to River of Life Community Church, and then in the little memo line to write to Via Apostolica with brackets, the Leclercs, or the Leclerc family. And so I've talked with Marcia about whether we'd be able to do that, and she thinks that that's good to be able to do it that way. And so again, so if you have an offering that you would like to join me in and helping them along this journey of faith, I'd like to encourage you to do that. And the reason being is, I've said this, every time we send someone, one day it's your turn. One day it's your turn. And so when, as people's calls come of age, and we engage with that, which is what a community does, and we serve that and support that by prayer and giving and all the different ways you can support someone's call, and the complete myriad of different types of beautiful calls, then the Lord watches on that, and one day it's your turn. And then it's not a surprise that where you've sown, you reap. And all of a sudden, all of these people are interested in your call and getting behind your call and encouraging it and in many different ways. And so it's a part of being community. And And the other thing is, I think many of you know, and you've been actually on the receiving end of their ministry. But I'm also aware that when God calls someone to do something a little bit unique, that some part of us can be held up back in reserve. Okay, so Rob and Sarah go to plant a church in Regina. Part of us gets, oh, that's a great thing, church planning. Part of us may not understand you're going to the nation's capital and you're going to live there and you're going to do what? And I know I had those kind of questions when you're going to Oxford to do what? And I had so many people ask me, but when the story was done, everybody loved the story. Everybody saw the hand of God. And I had people say to me sometimes, I didn't know why you were doing that. What are you getting into it? But now I see it's a God story. And though it would have been nice if they'd seen that beforehand. But it's nice they saw it at some time. And so I know that that's one of the reasons the Lord brings these kind of calls into our congregation, because I've had to walk these rather unusual steps that people didn't always get at the start. And maybe they're a little unusual sometimes. And so I have a big heart to support that. And one day it's going to be your call and God's going to say to you to do something and all of us are going to go, never heard of that one before. Yet we will see the handprints of God on that. And that's part of the beauty of it is, never seen that before. That's a good reason to support it. And we will see the handprint of God on your call. And we will get behind it and support it in every way that is at our disposal. So again, if you want to financially support that, they're going to need many thousand dollars to be able to pull off even the first step of this. And I know for my own self, I'm giving firmly behind this. Well, I'd like to gather a number of you. Why don't you comment? But let's see if you come down there. And while we're doing that, some of you that would like to come and pray and be part of their sending, I also want to get Jonathan and Tika Ritz to stand, okay? Because there's been a lot of profile in the LeClaires, and I believe it's important. It's kind of like a watch this space. This is very significant. But there's another very significant couple, a wonderful couple that are moving here. All right? And is this your last Sunday? Okay. And so while we're praying, I also want some people to gather around them and some of you to be able to ask the Lord for encouraging words for their next step. I don't know if you've been following his blog, but was a really wonderful and interesting couple. And again, worthy of our support. And so gather around them and let's pray for them, encourage them, and bring the word of the Lord to them. Okay, and we also get a bunch of people around the LeClaires and we will pray for them. Can I get you to start?
Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being able to send these ones out, that these would be sent ones from our small body. God, thank you that they go with a piece of our hearts. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we agree together and ask that your hand of blessing would be upon them. Lord, we pray that you would pave the way for them. We ask for favor for them. Lord, we thank you for the testimony of your provision already, and we look forward with great expectation to the rest of the journey as you provide. Lord, we cry out to you, Jehovah Jireh, and ask that you would open the doors, that you would open the floodgates, Lord, that you would make a way. Jesus, we pray for a release of finances in their situation, in their life, in their families. Jesus, we pray that you would direct their steps. We ask for divine appointments for them. Lord, we ask that you would place people in their paths. Lord, that they would see, Lord, just you lighting the way for them. That you would give them words. You would give them visions and dreams. Lord, we are just excited to be a part and to see an extension of our community going out in such a great way. So, Lord, we want to give them our full support financially and spiritually and communally. So we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that as we send them, that they would go in power by your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Father, we love Sean and Aaron more than we ever have. We've watched the way even over this past year you have blessed them. And that through them you have blessed us. We've watched how you have heightened their profile. We've watched this prophetic story from an early stage, and where we've watched it grow and accelerate, and we've watched it come of age. And we know it has significance for all of us. That in going, they are an extension of us, not being separate from us. When the Father sent the Son, it meant he also came with him. He backed him up. He wasn't saying goodbye. And we want our sendings to look like that. Thank you, Lord. We're in the early stages of you releasing a national call in our church. So it's no surprise you're sending people from our church to the nation's capital. And their prayers and their presence and their prophecies are going to make a considerable difference there. We believe they'll continue doing there just what they've been doing here and then some, with growth and acceleration. Lord, we know their hearts are heavy because part of them does not want to leave because of the deep love and relationships here. And all the more reason to surround them with our love. Thank you, Lord, this is the dream we've been working for. And we've got a long ways to go, but this is a dream we've been working for, to see true community in action. Even the first dewdrops feel good. Hallelujah. So Sean and Aaron, as an apostolic church, the authority of Jesus, we pray for you. And we send you, not using that word lightly, we send you as the Father sent the Son, and as the Son sent the 12 apostles. So also we send you in Jesus' name. That the presence of God that's here would surround you. That the word of the Lord would continue to be in your hearts and your mouths. That he would fully provide for you. When you sent out your 12 disciples, you told them they wouldn't even need to bring cloak or anything else, because you would provide for them every day. We pray that, Lord, when you send somebody, you send someone through your church, you make sure that you provide for them in every detail. And pray that your Holy Spirit would be with them. Pray that you'd keep the link between us strong. Lord, we pray, we know that just even now, as we pray for them, we pray that there would be the anointing upon them for what is ahead. Lord Jesus, we proclaim you as the one that is head over nations. Yes. And so you actually entrust national anointings to your body. A strength of spirit that makes a difference in nations. Father, I know that, Almighty. I know that is rested. I know that you have experienced that so many times. And so I pray that it would be upon Sean and Aaron. And they'd find that it would do the work. It would go ahead of them. A man or woman's gifting from God will make room for them. The anointing will break the yoke. Yes. Yes. The yoke that holds our country in bondage. The anointing will break the yoke. Yes. May they come back carrying their sheaves with them, rejoicing. Fruitfulness, stories of incredible fruitfulness. Yeah. Yeah. and return them to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't we just show our love and appreciation? Maybe the best way to do that is by putting our hands together. You'll be able to chat with them. Pastor Bill, I have taken a huge chunk of your time. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Todd. That's what church is all about, isn't it? It's about worshiping and praising and waiting on God and then sending people out who've responded to the Lord's call. It's great, just great to be a part of that. My personal conviction that the best possible use of human time is worshiping and praising God. And we've just had a wonderful opportunity to do that here this morning. I want to talk to you about communion. To say nothing new about communion, but just to look at two themes that are in the whole ordinance of communion, or the sacrament of communion, and perhaps give you some scriptures that you can take home with you, and they're in the bulletin, they're printed and in the bulletin, but scriptures that will enrich our experience of communion. I think it's so easily done that other things come along and we get busy, and sometimes communion is something that, well, we'll participate if we're there, or if it's going to be on, then that's fine. And we've sort of put it as something that's sort of added on. And I would like to suggest this morning that communion is central to our Christian faith. It zeroes in what is essential for having victory in our Christian life. I just want to look at two themes. One theme, it's not just about the body of Jesus, but it's about the broken body of Jesus. It's not just about the blood of Jesus, but it's about the blood of Jesus shed for you and shed for me. The basic passage of Scripture is 1 Corinthians 11. I'm just going to read the verse 23 to 26. Read it on the overhead. I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, New Testament, and my blood. This do in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show or you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's just have a word of prayer. Our Father, thank you that we can read your word. Thank you that you put so clearly in your word how you love us, and how you care for us, and how you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for us. And so we pray, Holy Spirit of God, come and touch our minds today that we might understand the Scripture, and touch our hearts that your word will become part of our everyday living. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in his name. Amen. Paul wrote this passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 11 to address problems that had been arising in the church of Corinth. And I wonder if I could have a glass of water, Lawrence. Thank you. Problems that were in the church. He had planted the church in Corinth. Corinth, one of the prominent cities of the ancient world of the Roman Empire. Commentators saying that it may have had a half a million people at the time, but a wealthy city. And Paul moved there to plant a church, and a major project it was. He stayed a year and a half. He didn't often stay in places that long, but he stayed in Corinth that long. And so he brought the gospel. People responded, and a church was planted. Afterwards, he had heard that problems had arisen. Thank you, Lawrence. That problems had arisen in Corinth with a compromise with the pagan world and with divisions in the church. And then word that things had gone wrong with communion, that there was abuse of this wonderful sacrament that had been left. And commentators think the background of it is that as time had gone on, church had expanded. They would have church in a rich person's home because they would have the larger houses. And in the style of houses at the time, a dining room would be a smaller room for intimate eating for the family. And then there was an atrium added on to that. And the church would meet in the atrium and would meet there for services and would also meet there for the celebration of communion, which it seems was begun with a love feast. The congregation came together and food was provided, and it was a feast that probably ended up with the Lord's Supper. Well, as time went on, more and more rich people joined. A little clique seems to have arisen, and they began meeting earlier, having supper before the rest of the congregation got there. And Paul had word that this smaller gathering had even got to the point where some people were getting drunk at it. And so he writes the letter to put things in order as to how communion should be held and what should be the main themes in it. And I would just like to just look at two of those, and that is the emphasis on the body of Jesus, and particularly that he says it's his broken body. That's verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 11. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And so, my body which is broken for you. Broken. Isaiah, 500, 600 years before, wrote, "I have offered my back, my cheeks to those who pulled my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting." Messiah, Messianic scripture, "I've given my back, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard." And then two chapters later in Isaiah 52, some startling words. "Many were amazed when they saw him beaten and bloodied, so disfigured one would scarcely know that he was a person. And he will again startle many nations. Kings will stand speechless in his presence, for they will see what they had not previously been told about. They will understand what they had not heard about." So way back there, Isaiah puts together the Lord's death with his coming again. And so it talks about him being so disfigured that he hardly looked like a human being. I think it's helpful in coming into communion that those are sort of the pictures that come to mind, that Jesus, in dying for us, was so disfigured. You know, the Romans were experts at crucifixion. They were skilled at drawing out death and doing the worst that possibly could be done to a human being by crucifixion. They crucified thousands of people. And so they knew what they were doing when they crucified our Lord and left him so disfigured that you would hardly know it was a person. But notice that Isaiah says, it links that up, that kings will be speechless. They'll stand speechless one day in his presence. And he's talking, of course, about his coming again, his death and his coming again. And we read in the scripture, do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance of his death until he comes. He comes again. And then at that time, kings will stand speechless, because they will then identify him, and then they will know he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. It reminds us that Christian faith begins with the cross. The cross is at its heart. It reminds us that it's all about sacrifice. It's all about sacrifice. It's all about the crucified life. And so those at the prayer vigil last night would have been doing that. That's a good example of a crucified life, of taking time and making room in your life for something like praying into the night. You could talk about fasting. To fast is to live the crucified life, to take time to read the Bible, to take your money and put it into missions. That's the crucified life. And so in communion, it talks to the very heart then of what it means to be a Christian. It reminds us also of a paradox, that out of brokenness comes healing and health. Out of brokenness comes the life that God wants us to live. And so Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Brokenness of spirit, coming with a broken heart that God always responds to. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near unto those that are of a broken heart. The Lord is near unto those that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. God responds to our brokenness. And as I prayerfully participate in communion, I am brought to the realization that communion is about the body of our Lord broken for me. It's broken for me. And so the general applications that he died for the world and he died for the church, it gradually dawns on me, he did it for me. No matter who I am or where I am, I was precious enough that Jesus died for me. That every one of us has something in us that God will take and use if we give it to him. The giving of his life brings new life. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. His life he gave that I might receive God's life. The offering of his holy life brings me purity of life. Hebrews 10:10, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We have been made holy. And so only that which is holy can be in the presence of God. And the only way we get holy is through accepting the gift of Jesus' life. Not because of all the good things we can possibly do and the listing them and stacking them up. No, we are holy just simply by inviting Jesus to come into our heart and our life. And then we get the gift of his holy life. It brings forgiveness, brings victory over sin. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. That's the message there again, that because of Jesus' sacrifice, because he bore our sins on his body, then it's as we accept that and enter into it that we die to the sinful nature that we all have and find righteousness. It brings healing in its broadest sense, we're told. His body was broken that ours might be made whole. By his wounds, you have been healed. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. His punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, we're healed. But let's look at secondly. It's not just his blood, but his blood, not just his blood given, but his blood shed for us. Lord Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the New Testament, New Covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." And the use of the word shed means it was done on purpose. Jesus purposely shed his blood, or life is in the blood, we're told in the Old Testament. He shed his life for us. One commentator says it could read, "This is the new covenant and it cost my blood." The reading of this scripture. 1 Corinthians 11:25, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup, new covenant, do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So again, the shedding of his blood, the remembering of it that we do in communion. It was the price of our freedom, our spiritual freedom. You know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from our forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Price of our redemption. The price of being free for us to worship Jesus. The price of the freedom that we enter into in order to read the Bible. To be free. To love our enemies, to be free from all those other things that hinder a person from following after Jesus. It was his blood that is precious. Notice it says that he redeemed us from an empty way of life. An empty way of life is life without Jesus. That's a simple definition. An empty way of life is life without Jesus, because it'll be a life without love and a life without prayer and a life without relationship with God and fellowship with others who love Jesus. It will be a life without interest in God's holy word. We're redeemed by his blood from that kind of empty life. Hebrews 10:19, we have confidence to enter the most holy place, the presence of God, by the blood of Jesus. A living way. Now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Christ's blood offered for us. And I think as we prayerfully participate in communion, we're gradually brought to the realization that communion is about self-examination. Communion is about stopping and thinking about what I'm doing with my life and what I have done with my life. And so verse 28 says, a person ought to examine himself or herself before he or she eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. Self-examination. It's an inward look into our own hearts, owning up to our own sin, making our own confession. But it's an outward look. It's a time when we ask ourselves, how am I treating my spouse, my family, my friends? How am I treating my neighbors? What am I doing to other people? How am I loving them in Christ's name? One commentator had this little piece of doggerel. He said he drew a circle that shut me out. Rebel, heretic, thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. And that's what it's all about. It's realizing that I'm here to mediate Jesus to somebody else. And I have that outward look when I come to communion. It's a backward look. We remember the death of Jesus. Death to our selfishness, death to our sin. Whenever you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. You proclaim the Lord's death. Jesus died for me. And so in communion, when we just attend and be at communion, that's one of the statements that we're making. We're making it to the demons and making it to the angels. I'm here to remember the death of Jesus. I'm here to remember the death of Jesus. And even if we come to communion and we forget the death of Jesus, I can tell you the demons never forget it. The demons never forget the death of Jesus because they were vanquished and they were defeated on the cross of Calvary. They never forget it. They don't like it when we come and celebrate and remember Jesus' victory on the cross. It's a forward look, an upward look. Jesus is coming back. He's coming as our Lord and Savior. And so 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait. And to wait for his Son from heaven, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Jesus who rescues us. We're waiting for him. It's an upward look. Titus 2. We wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us, to buy us back, to liberate us. So because of all of what we've just talked about, it finally dawns upon me as I prayerfully participate in communion. It dawns on me why communion concludes as a glorious celebration. Because that's what communion is. It's a celebration. It's about knowing that I belong to the Lord Jesus. That my sinful, selfish, rebellious nature is gone. And I am a new creation in him. That's why the celebration is there. I belong to Jesus. I belong not just to the one who gave his life on the cross. I belong to the one who is going to gloriously reign over the universe when he comes again. I belong to Him. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. And I know that because I know the change He's already made in my life. I know that. I know I belong to Him. I know I'm part of an upward kind of ascending ladder because I know. I gave my life to Jesus and my life was changed. Now if perhaps there's someone here who you can say that. That somehow you say, yeah, well, I went through all what supposed to three, but my life didn't change at all. Well, the Bible would say that your faith was in vain. In other words, you have to keep believing. You have to keep believing till you change. And then that will be the proof. The proof is the Spirit of God is in you and you'll want to pray. You'll want to read the Bible. You'll want to meet with other people who want to worship Jesus. And those are the evidences of a new life and a new nature and of the changing power of the gospel. And so it's no wonder that in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, the first chapter, verses 5 to 6, John sums it up in these words. The Apostle John says, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father, to Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Do you notice that it's talking about the past tense? We're already a kingdom and a priest. He's already freed us from our sins. Christ, whose body was given and broken for us. Christ, who purposefully, that's what Philippians 2 tells us, that Jesus didn't have to die. Not like us, we have to die, but Jesus didn't have to die. But it says he gave himself to death. He gave him of his own will. He shed his blood for you and me. And that's what we remember in communion. That's why communion is at the heart of things, because if you get the message of communion, you've got the message. If you've got the message and what communion stands for, you've got the foundation of everything else the Bible has to teach about what it is to be a Christian. If you can get the message, Jesus died for me. I know He's in my life because I want to serve Him and I want to love Him and I want to do what He wants me to do. Those are the evidences. And when it comes to communion, we celebrate it. Let's pray together. So come, Holy Spirit. Come and help us. Just help us as we remember how Jesus died for us. As we remember how somebody told us about Jesus. And we believed in Him. And He set us free. He set us free to love Him. He set us free to go to church. He set us free to meet with others who love Jesus. So thank You, Lord. And Lord, as we sit in Your presence, we want to obey You. We want to obey You and examine our own hearts and examine our own lives. So, Holy Spirit, shine into our hearts. Give us faith to confess. Give us faith to own up to our weaknesses and sins and confess them. Invite You in this moment of silence to do just that. In Your own word, make Your own confession. And so, Father, we
we confess angry words. We confess hasty words. Words that we'd love to take back, but realize we can't. But so we confess our sin. Ask for your forgiveness. Father, we confess thoughts that have come into our heads, and instead of dismissing them, we have entertained them. Thoughts we know we should not dwell on. So we ask your forgiveness for unworthy thoughts. Father, we think of deeds that we have done that we wished we had never done them. So we own up to them and say, Lord, forgive me. Whether it's deeds of the flesh, deeds of the spirit, pride, envy, jealousy, we confess them, Father. We ask for your forgiveness. Father, we think of deeds we haven't done, deeds of omission, things we always intend to do that we know are right, but we never get around to doing it. Or things that we know we should be doing in order to follow you better, in order to love more, and we just don't do it. Lord, we confess sins of omission and ask you to help us. And we offer you these prayers of confession in the name, the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so thank you then, Lord, for the word that you give to us, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you that as far as the east is from the west, so far you've removed our transgressions from us. Cast our sins into the sea of your forgetfulness. And so, Lord, we accept. We accept that good news. We accept that forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, according to the holy example of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do this so in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body. This is my body broken and crushed for you. Take and eat this in remembrance that I died for you. In the same manner also, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Ask Pastor Todd if you'll join me. Pastor Todd, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. His precious blood shed for you. Pastor Lawrence, body of our Lord Jesus, broken for you. His precious blood shed for you. Invite the servers, prayer teams to come forward at this time.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, far through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease.
As the ushers indicate, your role, just come forward, receive.